Atomic City. You know who that's by? You too. I heard somebody say you too, so you're right. Yeah. We're concluding our series, Atomic Brain Invasion. We've been talking about it. It's an invasion that's otherworldly. It's an invasion that I believe is stealing people's joy and hope and peace. Our spiritual enemy's real intent is to steal, kill, destroy. It's an invasion of the mind, and it's a supernatural invasion. You know, Paul writes these words in Ephesians 6. He says, we're not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities, against rulers of darkness and power in the spiritual world. This series has been a call to protect our minds from a spiritual invasion. And Peter encourages Christ followers to resist. And when he writes this, he says, beloved, remember you do not belong in this world. You are resident aliens living in exile. This world is not our home. As Christ followers, we are aliens. We are citizens of heaven. And therefore, we're to live different from the world. We're to think differently. We're to see things differently. And we're to have alien minds, okay? Not UFO aliens, Christ followers, aliens to this world. And we spent the last few weeks focusing on how Satan tries to invade our minds, how he tries to steal your future by invading your brain with lies, trickery, to seduce you little by little, because he knows if he can invade your mind, if he can get up here, he can defeat you. You know, by getting in here, he can destroy, he can steal your future, he can kill your joy and your hope and your peace, and ultimately he knows he can destroy you spiritually. And so today what I want to do is turn everything upside down. And I want to talk about some things that I hope will invade your brain. Atomic brain invasion. You know, I want to challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit that is in you to guide you in life. You know, I want to challenge you to allow God's word, and we've said this over and over, that we allow God's word to invade your brain. You know, to look to Jesus Christ as a model for living the very best life, the abundant life that he promises. And I want to challenge you to allow Jesus Christ to invade your mind. Alien thinking. You know, it's thinking that can change your life, change the world. You know, we're in a war. It's a spiritual war, and as I've said, it's a war that we fight with spiritual weapons. You know, it's a war that you fight up here. See, this is what matters. What you think matters. It determines where you go. And as we allow God to transform our thinking, I believe it has atomic power. You know, as we commit to changing and becoming who God created you to be, created me to be, created us, and called us to be, as you and I are changed, what happens is that atomic power overflows the people you're sitting with today. And what happens is we become an atomic church. And as Faith Fellowship, it has unleashes that atomic power, whether it be at your work or your school or your neighborhood, maybe the gym, as that atomic power touches lives and influences the people around you, when it ignites, it has the potential to change the entire landscape, to change our cities, to change this country, to change the world. You see how the spill works? So if we're going to become the kind of Christ followers that have that kind of atomic power, it's going to require you change what you think. And I want to look at some atomic thoughts to kind of close this out, thoughts that I believe are key and give us the keys to unlock the cages that hold some of you, you know, that will set you free. There are atomic thoughts, I believe, that are contagious, they're infectious, and they can influence society. Because when they see your hope, your joy, your contentment, when they see how that unfolds in your life, I believe people look and they go, I want that. I want what they've got. And friends, if we're going to live with that kind of atomic power, we've got to build our lives on the same values that Jesus Christ lived with. And so here's the first thought, and we've talked a lot about this, but you got to live with discernment in your life. In other words, evaluate all your thoughts. Test what you allow to take root up here. In other words, don't automatically accept what somebody tells you. I've said this over and over, probably every week of this series, that you guard your mind from lies, from deception. And just because something is popular, just because culture or some star that you admire says something, doesn't mean it's true. You know that, right? Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. You know, Paul, he cautions us. He says, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what's the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. Every thought, every idea, every fad, test it, test it. Does it square with what God's word says? Does it square with God's view of things, with God's will for your life? Does it square up to that? And I've said the problem we all have is we're bombarded. You know, movies, media, you know, shows, music, books, a lot of lies, a lot of untruths. And what happens after a while, and we're all guilty of this, the tendency is to let your guard down and let it in. And that's when it'll take root. And it happens not overnight, but over time. That thought, that idea that you let set there for a while, it gets roots. And we start accepting it as truth. And when it takes root, it starts shifting what you believe. It affects how you live. I mean, that's why Jesus often called his followers to be discerning, to know what they were allowing into their mind, that he'd say, pay attention, pay attention. In fact, it says this, Luke 11, he says, make sure that the light you have is not actually darkness. There's a lot in that, isn't there? What are you allowing to invade your brain? Is it true? Is it pure? See, we're going to up the standard here. Is it God-honoring? Be discerning, be discerning. Another atomic thought, if we're going to live like Jesus, we've got to learn to live with integrity in life. And I understand that many times when we talk about integrity, people go, oh, so we need to be honest and tell the truth. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. It's important. We need that. You need to be an honest person. You need to be a person that tells the truth. But integrity is much, much bigger than that. It's more encompassing than that. It's the thought of being whole. You know, that being completely integrated, the thoughts are integrated into who you are, every part of your life. Not where you go, well, I'll be honest here, but over here I kind of do my own thing. But you have to have integrity. And I want to be real, real clear here. Integrity, having integrity does not mean you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? Just one time. You don't have to keep telling them. Yeah. If you're going to have integrity, there has to be a consistency in who you are. You know, no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, no matter what the situation is, no matter what's at stake. You know, Jesus said it like this. He said, if you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be what? Radiant. Live with integrity and then live with humility. And I think this is oftentimes misunderstood because people think, oh, so I'm supposed to kind of have the attitude, well, I'm no good. I'm not really worth a whole lot. You know, I'm worthless. No, that's not true, by the way. Jesus Christ died for you, gave his life for you. That's how valuable and what you're worth. But besides, those comments are really false humility, I've figured out through the years. Humility is not downgrading yourself. It's not denying that you have strengths or gifts. You know, it's understanding your dependency on God. That's humility. Humility is acknowledging God's role in your life, in your successes, in your giftedness. You know, it's understanding your dependency totally on God. It's living with an attitude of gratitude for the good things in your life. You know, here's something to think about. It's a warning from Jesus. He says this in Matthew 23. He says, but those who think themselves great shall be what? And humbled. And those who humble themselves, what? Be exalted. Friends, when you acknowledge your dependency on God, what happens is your stress level will lessen. Because it's not all on you now. You know, all the stress that you carry is directly connected to your lack of humility. You can think about that for a bit. When you lack humility, you try to control the uncontrollable. You are not made to control everything. FYI, you need God in your life. You need humility so that you can face every day, so that you can face every situation. You know, trust God, trust God. You know, you need to understand, you know, I can't, but God can. Some of you need to hear that today. There are areas where you're trying to control things that are just uncontrollable. Humble yourself. Ask God for help. Understand he'll get you through. That area where you struggle with worry, fear, anxiety, we talked about all those things, that's the area that you trust God the least. Acknowledge your dependency on God, complete surrender, and it'll shift things in your life. It really will. You know, Jesus said this. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Anybody weary and burdened? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Some of you are just worn out. I see it in you. You feel it. Some of you sat down today, and you're like, yeah. This is my best advice for you. Come to Jesus Christ and just humble yourself. And whatever that thing is or things that's weighing you down, give up control and say it's yours, God. Trust God. Trust God with it. Another thought? Live with simplicity in your life. Today, the demands are great, and things are very, very complex. And too many people today, they're always rushing, you know, places to go, things to do, more than you can possibly do. And you're running so hard, you're not even enjoying life. You're not enjoying the present. Why? Because you're worried about all the stuff that you got to do, the next thing up, you know, and it just overwhelms you. And we talked about this a bit. Fix your eyes. What happens is we get so fixed on the urgent stuff, right? That we miss the most important things in life. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, so, you know, enough said, but reduce your schedule. Reduce it. Simplify. Simplify. And then simplify this whole concept, and most people in America have bought into it. They bought into the idea that what you need is more. I was traveling the other day. I was amazed at how many of these storage units are popping up all over the place. I mean, it's crazy. Units that you can rent. Why? So you can store more stuff. You know, stuff you can't even put in your house. You know, why? Because we need more. We need more. Oh, yeah, so we got more to care for, more to clean, more to repair, more to insure, more to protect. More than you need. Friends, simplify. Simplify. You know, Jesus said this. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Well, that sounds anti-American. Life is not about getting more. It is not about the abundance of things that you can have. You know, the one that dies with the most toys still dies. Stuff does not last. You know, Jesus said, he says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Friends, I know people that use all their time, all their energy, all their talents, all their resources to get bigger, better, more. And Jesus makes it really clear, if you read through the Gospels, there's nothing wrong with having things, all right? Do not hear me say that there's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But it is not what life's about. Do not let it define you. When more is the goal, when more is the most important thing, you will miss the best of life. It'll cost you your time. It'll cost you your health. It can cost you your family, your relationships. It could cost you your soul when all's said and done. Invest in the things that are the most important. Invest in the things that God has entrusted to you and given to you. If you simplify your life, you will watch your stress decrease. And you'll watch your peace and joy. Well, friends, it will dramatically increase just by simplifying. Be very, very careful what you are investing your time and energy in. Another atomic thought, live with possibilities. This is a faith issue. You know, Jesus said this. He says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. With God, the possibilities in your life expands significantly. Think about that. Do you believe that everything is possible with God? Because I think most of the time when people hear this, it's kind of a shrug thing. Like, well, yeah, sure, God could do what God wants to do. Everything is possible with God. The story in the New Testament, a young boy needs healing, and his father approaches Jesus, and he asks, he says, please, 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 please help him if you can. And I love Jesus' answer. He says, why do you say, if you can? Anything is possible for someone who has faith. Anything is possible if you have faith. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Jesus said? That is an atomic thought. That is mind-blowing to me when I consider the possibilities there. When you embrace that, truly embrace it, it will change the way you think. It'll change the way you see things. It'll change the way you see those crises down the road. It will change the way you live. If you believe all things are possible with God. And as followers of Jesus Christ, friends, we should be the most innovative and the most creative and the most positive people on this planet. Why? Because God's with us and all things are possible. You know, we serve a God who says all things are possible. And if you have faith in God, it expands the possibilities in your life. In fact, I think one of the greatest sins is unbelief. You know, unbelief, what happens is you limit God's power in your life. You know, the more you believe God, the more you trust God, the more possibilities you have. More possibilities for your family, your career, more possibilities for your life. And I think I've said this before, but I think all of us, every one of us, would be tormented if God would show us what we could have accomplished if we had just believed a little bit more. That's weighty. Let me ask you a few questions here. In what area of your life are you limiting God by your unbelief? You know, God wants to bless you, but you're limiting him because of your unbelief in some area, because you won't do things the way God wants you to do them. You won't believe him, you know, in your finances, in your relationships, in your career. You fill in the blank here. Every time you doubt God, well, God really can't deal with this. God can't do anything about it. You just limit yourself. What needs to change in your life? I mean, what would you like to change in your family? What would you like to change in your relationship? Again, fill in the blank. What would you like to change? What would you like to change in this world? With God, all things are possible. You got to embrace that, and I would just say to you, what are you waiting for? I mean, you may think, hey, I'm waiting on God. I've been waiting on God a long time. God's not doing anything. I can't believe God's not doing something about this. But the reality is, God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you. We live in this incredible time in history. You know, we are surrounded by more possibilities, more than you can even imagine. And friends, don't just sit there and watch history. Be a part of it. Engage. You know, don't be discouraged. Just rise up above it all. Make a difference. The best days are ahead when you expect the goodness of God to work in your life. With God, all things, everything, that thing that you're thinking about right now, it's possible with God. And then live with priority in your life. Know what's first in your life. First is first. First is what? First. Jesus understood his purpose when he came to this planet. He understood God's priorities for his life. In fact, from a very young age, Jesus was completely aware and completely committed, fully committed to God. You know, when he was 12 years old, his family took a trip to Jerusalem, and they found him later. He was teaching in the temple. And so they went to him. They're like, Jesus, what are you doing here? You know, he goes, I must be about my Father's business. Pretty deep for a 12-year-old, huh? Jesus was very, very clear about what he was focused on. He knew his purpose. He knew why God had sent him. You know, when he's hanging on the cross, right before he took his last breath, he says, it's finished. In other words, he had accomplished what he had came for. I look at that, those are bookends to a successful life. Because God was first. You know, as a pastor, I long to be able to help you live a God-honoring life. I want you all to be successful. I want you all to get to the end of life and go, you know what, I did it. I lived my life in a God-honoring way. I lived the way God wanted me to live my life. I mean, sure, I had some rough spots along the way. But I got things straightened out because I put God first. You ever talk to someone and they're kind of, I call it flitting about, just trying this, trying that, whatever, and they'll go, I'm just trying to find myself. You know what I'm talking about? I want to scream when I hear that. It drives me crazy. You will never find what you're looking for until you change your strategy. You know, Jesus said this. He says, if your first concern is to look after yourself, catch this, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you will find both yourself and me. Looking to Jesus. First line of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which is a really good read, by the way. It's not about you. It's not about you. Let that sink in. It's not about you. You know, that thought should invade our brains. And if it did, it will change the way you live your life. It's not about you, it's about God. You know, Jesus was teaching one day and he's talking to this group of people, probably people like us, and he's talking about the things they're chasing and they're worried about. You know, they're worried about, you know, what are they gonna eat? What are they gonna drink? You know, what are they gonna wear? All this stuff, they're concerned they're not gonna have enough. What if I run out? What if? Jesus says, only people who don't know God are worried about such things. Your Father knows what you need, but put God's work first, and these things will be yours as well. All the things will be yours. God knows what you need. God knows. He's fully aware. He gets it. God first, above everything else. You know, God first, then everything else will start falling into place. That thing that you think's never going to get fixed, God first, it'll start falling into place. You want peace, joy, happiness, hope? Want some clarity in your life? Some guidance? Anybody need some strength, comfort? Focus on God, God first, and that life that you want, that you long for, that seems so evasive, when you put God first, friends, your future, get this, your future is greater than anything you can ask or imagine. God first. Some of you know, because you've come to me before with, you know, oh, this just isn't working out, and, you know, my job, and, you know, our relationships, and on and on and on, and, oh, I don't know what to do. And I usually give a very simple answer to something that's complex. Is God first in your life? I usually get a, I take that as a no. Put God first, and then things can start dropping into place. But if you don't put God first, they never will. Granted, puts people on their heels a little bit. But I fully, completely, totally believe when you put God first, things will start falling into place. I'm not saying it fixes everything. I'm not saying it'll be perfect. But you will sense momentum. You go, oh, I'm a little less stressed. Not freaked out as much. Oh, wow, didn't see that coming. Wow, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. God first. It changes everything. Download that. Put it in your brain. That struggle, you want to get through it? You put God first. Specifically, put God first in that area, but every area. God first, enough said, God first. This is a powerful thing we've been given. Do not waste it. Protect it. Think about what you think about, because what you think about, it really, really matters. Really matters. More than most realize. Protect your mind. God gave it to you. God expects you to use it. Give it to God. Oh, we're back to God first. God first. So, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, you've created every single person here fearfully, wonderfully. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just always be there nudging us, that we would pay attention to what we're thinking about, what we're letting in, what we allow to take root. And God, not just that it's truth, but that it's pure, that it's holy, that it's God-honoring. God, as Christ followers, help us to raise that bar so we can rise above all the junk and all the negativity and all the stuff that wants to drag us down. And God, most of all, just let us know when you're not number one. when we're letting something else creep in. Give us wisdom. Give us friends that will come alongside and caution. God, may we live with that power that you've given us through your Holy Spirit. God, help us that we'd live the best life we can, that we'd experience the abundant life because we don't let that junk in our brain and we're keeping you as our number one focus. God, we give you the glory, the praise with what we say, what we do, and what we think. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, we're going to worship, and we've got a family that's bringing their child to be dedicated, and so we're going to sing and worship, and then we're going to dedicate that child this morning.